Hey now, welcome to the dirty side of the track, America's leading Formula One podcast. I'm Brian, that's Rob. We are getting oh so close to testing. The season is around the corner. Can you feel it, Rob?
Oh, I can feel it 100%. It's like I've even been kind of clambering after any kind of like shakedown video as well, which is just awesome to see the new cars going around, which is probably mainly what we'll cover off first in the news, right? We've had all the liveries through now, so we can make our view of what our favorite ones and worst ones are.
Sure.
Pre-testing. And yeah, then we'll use the testing ones to hold ourselves to our predictions we made earlier in the season. Not earlier in the season, earlier in the off season.
And you know what? As much as it pains me to highlight the fact that you're kind of withholding final judgment till you see cars on track, I think that's a really good idea. I hate to agree with you, but when they're in a studio with special lighting, it's hard to see what they look like going around.
It is. It's like, you know, will that unnatural light, does that paint it in its best view? And then you see it out on track and you're like, really? So, you know.
I mean, a couple years ago, like, do you remember when AlphaTauri had the white rims and everyone thought they were ugly in the preseason because they just sat there in the room and you're like, whatever. But then you saw the car on track and it really worked. At least I thought it worked. So
yeah, and it's like when McLaren first bought the kind of the Google Chrome logo wheel on, thought, oh, that's a pretty neat way of, that's amazing sponsorship placement. But of course, as soon as the car's moving, you don't see any of the colors. It's like,
right.
It's actually only really any good when the car is stationary. But so we'll take a look at that. Take a look at some of the other bits and pieces that we've seen from kind of the cars being revealed. A look at wheel rims and the like. Bumper video vault by the looks of things. You've been busy. And then we'll kind of just have a quick peek at our first reaction to the F1 fantasy game open this week. So we'll be shamelessly plugging our own mini league and just kind of taking a look at some of the minor changes, I think, that they've made to this year's game and our thoughts on it. So should we dive in?
Let's do it.
Okay, so the final livery reveals. Aston Martin. And there's going to be a little bit of a theme here, I think, for some of these that come out. It's basically the same car, slightly different shade of green, I think. But it's a really good looking car. So kind of a, if it ain't broke, don't fix it vibe. My only gripe, and then I'll see what you think, Brian, is that they also dropped the livery for the Aston Martin Vantage at the same time and showed what they could have done with some of the yellow detailing that kind of really, the Vantage looks really mean, and I think they could have used that yellow outlining a little bit more on the F1 car. But it's still a great looking car. It's just the same.
Agreed. It is. It's fine. You know you're looking for something to say when I comment to myself, boy, it looks good on medium tires, because the yellow tires make it pop. If I have to use the Pirelli color of the tire to help it, it's good. It's not bad. It's good. It's the same as last year. I do like the shade difference in the green, if I'm seeing it right, based on, you know, what we saw on the F1 post of it from last year to this year. But again, I am colorblind, and greens and blues and pinks and purples are not in my sweet spot. So for all I know...
I think it is a little bit closer to what they term British racing
British
green.
Racing
it's
green.
It's a
bit
darker. So I like the change in the green. It's just there's not a lot of difference there. And shock horror, Ferrari launch, a red car. Who knew? But, and I know I'm going to Ferrari fanboy over this one, and I'll let you beat me down, Brian. But kind of like the way they've been, well, maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But this year it feels like they've basically said, right, the car's going to be red. It's going to have some white on it, some yellow on it, and some black on it. And that's it. There is going to be no other sponsor kind of color interfering with this. If you're precious about your color of your logos, sorry, guys, it's white font on a red car. The only yellow that's going to basically be allowed is the Ferrari logo and the Shell logo. And because of that, the whole thing just adheres to one kind of style. So to me, this is chef's kiss. They got rid of that big black square they had last year to put Seva, however you say it, the C-E-V-A. Yeah. That's now just white on red car. It's just, and the red rims, and we'll come to the rims later, but yes. I'm loving this. This is chef's kiss from me.
I also like this a lot. I don't know if I would go as far as you are going. I like it. It's one of my favorites. Don't get me wrong. So it's in the top section for me. The yellow really does it for me. That yellow stripe that comes up the side pod and the one over the nose. I mean, that is just really, with the white right next to it. I love that. So I thought it was great. I will say this. A lot of people have been throwing a lot of slander at cars that I do like for having too many logos. And you talk about placement. I understand. I understand you. I'm just saying Ferrari's got more logos on this thing. It hit every branch on the logo tree
I
on the
think
way
they've
down.
probably all got exactly the same number of sponsors on. I think it all comes to how you.
This feels like a Rob Vail deep dive retrospective
no,
on a
not
train
really.
ride
It's, I
this
mean,
week.
you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I just think that, you know, every car has to maximize its real estate. That's what they're
Right,
doing this for,
right.
right? To try and get as many sponsors. So I get it. You're going to have to pepper sponsors all over the car. And every car has. If you probably count them up, I bet they've all got very, very similar. To me, it's about, do you make the sponsorship come first, or do you make your design of your car come first? And I just think Ferrari, this flows really nicely.
I
It's
agree.
just all white on red.
I do agree with
Other
that. And the
cars.
rims are great. The
Oh, the
red
rims are.
rims are
We'll come back to
fantastic.
those. They are,
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean that adds a lot for me. And then we saw same day we saw Mercedes. And for me, this feels like a nice change. Rob feels like it's, at least in the notes, very similar. What I would say is it's a mix, right? The silver arrows, and then they were in the black car for a while. And this is a mix of both. It's a lot of black and a lot of silver. And so instead
And
of
there's
being,
a lot of silver.
well, the whole top part, I mean, if you look from above, it's a lot of silver. The top of the
Yeah,
nose, the
yeah.
top of the side pods, not the top of the wing, but there's a decent amount of silver. I really enjoyed it. I thought it looked great. I thought it came together well, and the splash of green throughout also seemed to work for me.
Yeah, the green again, and we go back to kind of just me kind of liking kind of elements that work nicely, is if you look at the two cars, last year's Mercedes and this year's Mercedes side on, the green swoop that was on it last year was fine. This one, the way it trails, and it's like the dividing line between the silver and the black, and it traces all the way up the nose and then it swooshes down over the side pod. I'm sorry, but that, again, I'm getting too excited about little things, but that swoosh or whatever you want to call it is chef's kiss. I really like this. They were probably never going to go anything other than black or silver. The fact they've
Right,
kind of
right, right.
got both in is
Yeah.
great. Little bit again, and I think this is maybe where a sponsor has to have their say. The red doesn't feel in
I
keeping with the rest of it on the
agree.
air cover. Like they could have just found a way
INEOS
of
or whatever
like
that
just
is.
making it that was silver. If that had been silver, even with the sponsor's name on it in black or something, that would have been amazing. But
I
it is
mean,
what it
even if
is.
they
They
made the
pay.
sponsor's name in red, it would still work. But having the whole thing red, it just feels like.
Yeah.
Like they were coloring the car, and then they turned it upside down and dipped it in paint, but only went so far. Like, oh, just the top's red. And then this was one of the first ones, not the first, because we already talked about Toro Rosso last week, where people saw changes in the car design. And again, we know this is a really a livery launch. It's not necessarily, quote, a car launch. We'll see more at testing, and then we'll see more at the first race. Of course, we get that. And upgrades will happen. That said, people freaked out. Because there was such a change over the last year. And we saw some of this at the end of, in the middle of last season, where they went from their zero pod to these uniquely shaped inlets. They've gone from a pull rod to a push rod, which Rob and I talked about. We know so much about the difference there. There's a radically different front upper wishbone orientation,
Tell
but.
me more about the upper wishbone orientation,
Well, I
Brian.
can't because I'm so focused on the lower wishbone. And so then the question I have is. The thing that really got Dr. Obbs, who we like very much, friend of the show, been on, he's great. If Mercedes have found a way to create a detached front wing element with legality wire, then that could change the game for front wings. The Y250 Vortex was a great way to help control FT wake. Does this get banned quickly? Anyway, he then highlights it for someone says, "Can you say it's helped us out for dummies?" And he goes, they run a thin strip of material to stay legal, but they basically detach the last element or the top element of the wing, which will create an inboard vortex by the front tire and help outwash the midwake. Again, I don't know what all that means, but do you remember last year when they were playing with their wing and they put all those little doohickeys on it and all the other teams were freaking out and they never ran it? I'm curious to see if this is a thing, if this wing means anything, but people who are nerdier than we are, smarter than we are, whatever you want to call it, we're agog by this whole situation, and I'm curious to see what happens.
Yeah, or is it like a huge misdirection play where they've got no intention of running this and they're just messing with the rest of the paddock's minds by introducing this?
I would
Hey,
have
we'll
loved that
show
to
them.
be
We'll get them
true.
all running around to look at legality wire, whatever the hell that is.
I'm gonna go buy some legality wire right now. And then we saw Red Bull come out, and this is as we started with Aston Martin, we will close with Red Bull from the liveries. In terms of color, we'll start there. In terms of the color and the way it looks, it's the same. It is basically a carbon copy of last year, but it's, you know, what do you expect? It's the classic. It's the Red Bull colors. It's their
Yeah,
colors and the way they work with their sponsors. And did you expect anything different? Because I didn't.
No. And I like the look of this car. It's, you know, whether you see their stunt planes, all the different kind of extreme sports they do, it's basically this color. This it's a brand, and why mess with it? I'm kind of
I
almost
agree.
that they'll probably do some nice special liveries in the season. They tend to. So a bit like we knew Aston Martin was going to be green. We knew Ferrari was going to be red, and we knew these guys were going to be purple or whatever you want to call it. And I love the fact that all three of them stuck to their guns and didn't come out with kind of completely exposed carbon fiber. And we had like a black Ferrari with a lick of red paint, and you know,
Agreed.
so they've kind of all decided that they've got enough horsepower. They don't need to worry about carrying a few extra kilos of paint. So good on them, I say.
But once again, we had another freak out when the Red Bull came out, and this one was even larger. This one got the whole internet, F1 Twitter going. Craig Scarborough, who, as you guys know, does a lot of tech things, Scarbs, he says there's no real confirmation on this. It's just a theory, but there are two inlets on the RB20. That's the Red Bull Challenger for this year. Side pod. There's a vertical slot, which is kind of like a Ferrari style deal, but smaller. And then it's a much smaller kind of lip and smaller side pod from there. It's almost as though they're going towards where Mercedes was leaving a year ago. And I'm not saying they are because there is more of a side pod. It's not a zero pod, but it's much smaller and does not have the large intakes. And people were like, therace.com had article after article about it, and it took everybody by surprise. You know, this narrow inlet duct tight against the side of the chassis. People were really shocked to see this after what they'd had in the RB19, which was a giant killer. So is this faster? Why would they have done this if they had the RB19 in their
Yeah,
back pocket?
I don't know. This is, again, is this, so I'm going to say that the livery launches this year have been a lot more interesting than last year, because last year, if I remember, we basically had the show cars with the liveries on.
Right.
So there was almost zero giveaway of anything. Almost every car that's come out has had somebody point to some aspect of it, which is, oh, this looks new, or this inlet, or this winglet,
Except
or
for the
this
Haas.
legality wire, or whatever, right? But we didn't get, I don't remember getting that conversation last year, because they were just blatantly show cars with liveries on, and we saw the
Right.
real things in test. So this year, how much are people giving little tidbits away of where their development direction is going? Is there any kind of showmanship, like I say, of putting some weird things on? I mean, the Red Bull has obviously got something they're holding back. Because you say there's inlets, but actually that car, there was nothing. It was
Right.
like they put like a, you know, when you sometimes buy a car and you know that you haven't got the top of the range one because you've got the blanks where the buttons should be if you had a
Yes,
fancy version of the
very
car.
familiar with that.
They had like essentially like a blank over the front of the side pod. It's like there's no way for the air to go in. I can't imagine that tiny little slit is the only way of getting cooling in. So it feels like there's some kind of switcheroos that are going to take place by the time we see them in testing, I
I'm
think.
curious to see. I'm really curious to see. A lot of people potentially going different directions. By the way, the blank thing, I have a, it's old, it's a 12-year-old car, but I have a nice car, a fast car. I got more blanks than my wife's car. Like, what the heck? Mercedes couldn't have like made up a button for me. It looks so cheap in there, but I got a hand-built engine and I got 75 blanks across the dashboard. I'm like, well, I don't know what that would have been for, but I don't have
Yeah,
it.
exactly.
Just,
It's always quite depressing when you look
it
at
is.
you get yourself a new car and you look at the amount of blanks you've got and you think, look at all the stuff I could have had.
I just want to know what's missing. Like missiles? Anyway, so we talked
Yeah,
about the
definitely
liveries.
missiles, yeah.
Missiles. Yeah, it's always the problem. The rims, though. And so we highlighted this on the Ferrari, and I love this conversation. And we've actually talked about it on the pod here recently. And I always mention the AlphaTauri with the white ones from a couple years ago that I thought were just fantastic. So on Reddit, actually, you know, the F1 channel had a picture of all the different rims and they put them to the team. And most people have basic rims. Let me just say basic. Like, so Red Bull and Toro Rosso have the exact same red rimmed rim before you get to the tire. Mercedes really has not much, a little bit of paint at the hub. Aston Martin has some lines and dashes. You'll see a tiny little white ring from Williams, not too much. And Haas really didn't do much of anything there. So then you'd have people who really went to town, really went, and Sauber went to town. They took that nuclear waste, toxic waste, green, you know, crazy neon color, and it's all over the rim. And that could look fantastic if it really works out. Alpine went with a mix of their sort of, you know, blues, pinks, purples, the BWT colors, and all the Alpine colors kind of in there, which is all right. But then to Rob's point, McLaren has the chrome thing, but at speed, it just kind of turns into a blur, which I'm assuming Alpines will do. And I think, I have to be honest, if Kick's going to get second place, in my opinion, for going bold on the rim. I give Ferrari first for all that red on the rims, and I really hope they keep it. Now, Rob, you've done some research here.
Well, there's a couple of things here. So I saw a picture of it. I can't remember who posted it online. Multiple people did, I guess, of the Ferrari in its shakedown. And somebody pointed out and said, the way they've designed these rims really makes it look like a throwback to the old school where we used to be able to see the glowing brake discs before we had covers. And it said it just makes the car look like it's going faster. And I was looking at it and saying, it really does. It really looks like glowing brake discs. And it's just fantastic. On Threads, user JasonPaul03, after I'd posted this picture, came back and said, quick question. Do the teams actually manufacture their own rims? I mean, we know all the tyres come from Pirelli, but what about the actual wheels? Where do they come from? I was like, that is a great question. I don't actually know. So I reached for my phone. I threw the bat symbol up in the sky, or pit lane Paul symbol, we'll call it, and said, hey, Paul. Yeah, Paul, what do you do? Do you buy them in? Is it a spec series? Like, are the rims given to all the teams and then you just go and put your covers on them? What's the deal? He said, yeah, it's kind of in the middle. Like the teams don't manufacture them, but they're not a spec. They'll go to any kind of manufacturer of wheels and basically put your design in. So a lot of the teams use BBS, and they'll submit their designs, weight, size. It's all got to be within the regs or what have you. But yeah, the teams don't build their own. They basically send them out to manufacturing companies and get them in. Pirelli to chuck the tires on, away you go.
And then they must have to keep them separate, obviously, in the barn. We saw in Canada, right, the Pirelli barn of all the tires for the teams. So they must have like a section for each team, because you certainly wouldn't want, like what color is the opposite? Like, could you imagine if Sauber had the Ferrari wheels and that Ferrari red on the neon green car going around? That would not work. Or vice versa would be even worse. But yeah, that's fascinating. That's good. Jason, thanks for the question. And Paul, thank you for the answer. And Rob, thanks for doing some work here finally.
Wow. Well, I didn't really do much. It kind of, my thumbs typed the question. Paul did the answer. And so that kind of wraps up what the cars look like. So, of course, alongside all of the livery reveals, you get all the sound bites because all the team principals and drivers are getting interviewed. And it just, okay, I get why all the media outlets ask these questions. But really, what answer are you expecting? So the first ones that kind of annoy me are the whole, hey, Max, hey, Lewis, hey, insert driver here. Do you like the look of the car and are you excited about driving it? Now, nobody's going to answer no to those questions. No one's going to go, no, I think it looks terrible and it's probably going to be an absolute brick to drive. I mean, so you just get all the generic answers come from the drivers there. But the ones I do like are then when the team principals are asked about kind of their hopes for the season. And these go wide-ranging from maybe optimists, realists, people trying to not give their hand away. So we had a variety of different soundbites. So, Toto, we have completely rebuilt the car to challenge. We have a superb driver combination, hopefully a fast car, and I think some very good ingredients to be back at the front again here. So Toto's gone bullish. He is, yes, Ferrari of the challenges this year.
Did he answer with the piece of paper in his hand, basically?
I have it printed out.
I think he did. I think he had a big banner that said, we have completely rebuilt the car to challenge, and he was willing to show it to anyone.
Do you think, can I just ask you a quick question before we move on from Toto? When he said this, and we've watched the evolution of that car, where they tried the zero pods, and then they kept with it, then abandoned it last season in the middle of the year. And then they see Red Bull come out after the RB19 with a design that's more towards where Mercedes had been. I'm not saying it is, but it's in that direction. Do you think Toto looks at it and goes, what the hell? I mean, do you think he just looks at it and goes, are they screwing with me now?
I'd like to think that, almost Adrian Newey kind of like just turns to camera and kind of gives the, yeah, come on.
Like it's The Office. Done. Like it's The Office, and he turns to the camera and kind of smiles slyly and then walks away. Sorry.
Yeah, because he was being interviewed as part of the Red Bull launch as well, which was all a little bit...
Weird.
I don't want to go too much down that rabbit hole because we said, we're not going to talk about the Christian thing until it all comes to the front. But they did try to serve us up too much. We're all one big happy family. Yeah. Red Bull's great. It's all good here and it's a great place to work. I thought they went a little bit overboard on kind of serving up that message as part of the launch, but I guess
again, it's still really rumors of what happened. Yeah, so we won't go into it, except The funniest picture was when they showed the Red Bull team photo from, I don't know what year it was, where everyone had their sitting with their hands on their lap. And The comment was Red Bull's new approach to the HR, the workplace. Show me your hands. Keep your hands visible. Anyway, moving keep going. On. Moving on.
Now, much to, I'm hoping this is just kind of not giving away their hand, because much to the horror of me and Brian that have gone all in on McLaren this year, Zak Brown came out and said, there are a number of innovations on the car, but not all the areas we want to address have been completed for our launch spec. Those areas now become the focus of our in-season development, and suddenly it's Groundhog Day to last season.
It is. This is how they started last year, and this wasn't what Lando said, but this is what
it's
happened.
Broken. It's broken!
That's like they started the year. He had six pit stops to fill up the air pressure in the car in the first race, and it didn't improve to Austria. Please, can they finish what they need to do in the offseason? Do they need like some help with time management? What is happening at McLaren? Every year they enter the year like, well, our car's not quite ready yet.
So what I'm hoping this time around is, last year it was a little bit more doom-mongering. It was, we've gone in the wrong direction and we need to about face. Okay.
And they nailed it better than anyone had seen in a long time in terms of turnaround.
Yes.
Mid-season.
So this year you could read it as, they know they're sitting on some amazing upgrades. They think they've got a strong package to start the year with. And this whole, you know, what was it? There are a number of innovations, but not in all the areas. So in other words, it's amazing, but it's going to be even better after the upgrade. That's my silver lining view of this quote, maybe.
I hope so.
But Mike Crack.
Mike Crack.
Go on, you take it. Mike Crack,
the man who stores the gasoline in his refrigerator. He said Red Bull is absolutely beatable. What? I mean, I hope so. By you? By somebody else?
He was very, very bullish in his press conference. He was like, yep, absolutely beatable. And we're going to take it to them. And I mean, I think if you come out like that, you've got to back it up, right? So hopefully Aston start like they did last year. Because if they come out and trundle around towards midfield or rear of midfield, everyone's going to be firing up the quote machine from preseason and go, do you want to rethink that one, Mike?
Well, and then also things that picked up heavily on social media, and actually this was picked up by a lot of people immediately. Ferrari got so excited, they put a tweet out with a video of a Drive to Survive style pit stop, and there is a problem with the left front tire, and this pit stop takes about 4 seconds, and then the car takes off, and people are like, this pit stop sucked. They couldn't have gotten a good one for their big social media splash for the launch, for the campaign, and then it gets worse because Ferrari takes it down and then they put the correct one out, which is a better stop. And then they basically blame the social media intern. They said, oh, the social media admin got excited and used the wrong one. Like, well, did the social media admin say that to make it themselves feel better? Because otherwise someone ran them over with the bus.
I'm still thinking, I know I kind of pedaled back on this on Discord, but now I've thought about it more. Still thinking this is genius marketing from Ferrari, which is, if you just put out a clip of a pit stop from above, it'll get X amount of traction. You put one out where you've made a classic Ferrari blunder and the front left has got stuck. You know how viral this clip went? I still don't buy the idea of they sent two clips to social admins had picked the right one. That doesn't make any sense. A big marketing machine like Ferrari is going to have a final edit that they pass on to social media admin who posts it. There wouldn't have been two to get mixed up with. So my tinfoil hat is still, this was genius to make it go viral, get the impressions, because it doesn't really hurt the Ferrari brand that the front left got stuck. I mean,
or
it's just,
does it just make it feel like we're going to hear a lot of this year?
It's a mistake.
And yeah, so, who knows? Because it definitely went a hell of a lot more viral than just a regular old pit stop from above clip would have done.
So where are we at now, right? Let's wrap it up here. We can talk about favorite liveries, whatever you like. Favorite, you know, where your excitement lies, favorite team. I am freaking out. I'm in full-on SAP is in love mode. And Rob knows this because it's built over the course of the last 10 days or so. And you guys, if you listened last week, you may have heard the beginning of it, but you haven't seen my WhatsApps through the week to Rob. So before I get into that, where do you want to start? Just feel for the season, excitement, liveries. Like, what's your...
Let's quickly do the livery, like where we think. So look, yeah. I had McLaren as my favorite and Haas as my worst at my prediction at the beginning of the year. I would already say that Haas is well on track to be my least favorite.
McLaren, I thought you said Alpine was pushing them out of the way.
It was, but I've kind of taken a look back at it and I'm kind of, it's between those two. So it's still on track. It could still be my worst, but Alpine's kind of knocking on the door. And then up at the top end, I said McLaren. Got to be honest, I think the Ferrari looks better. But again, McLaren's up there. It's in the mix. I'd say my top three at the moment are probably Ferrari, McLaren, and Mercedes, I think. I do like the silver and the black. I think it's all going to come down to what they look like in testing. So I'm not blown out of the water yet, but I don't hold good hopes that my predictions are right.
I am completely blown out of the water. So what did I say my favorite would be Haas? That's way off. It's still in my bottom. I mean, it is. If it's not, I think Alpine is my least favorite. They did not do any of what I was hoping they would do. So Haas is not my favorite. And who did I say my worst was going to be? Do you remember? Was it Alpine? No.
No, I want to say, we'll have to go back to the notes and take a look. I think you said Sauber, because I don't think you thought the steak thing was going to look
any
good.
I did. And you know what? I still think I might be right. We'll see it on track. I mean, that's a neon green, dude. Like, that is really neon. Like, you've only drank Red Bull for 4 days in a row and had alcohol and had no water. And that's what your urine looks like when you go to the bathroom. So, yeah.
You've seen
all the
branding where people have photoshopped MIS in front of all of the steak logos.
I haven't. I like that. So then in terms of like the cars themselves, right, the launches we've seen, the car components, which may or may not be accurate. My favorite, sorry, just to close liveries, my favorite was the Toro Rosso. And I know everybody, I know Lizzie, I know, you know, it's busy and the sponsors' logos and the placement, and Rob, your OCD said they're not in the right places, and I don't like the way the Visa is a little bit on an angle. I still love it. I love the Toro Rosso colors. If they had made the rims like the Toro Rosso blue or red, I may have lost my mind. And so,
talking of losing your mind, let's just not leave it at liveries. Keep going with the messages you've been sending me all week.
All right. So here it is. And I think I might be underselling it. When they showed us the Toro Rosso and it moved from push to pull or push to pull to push or whatever rod they want to use, and everybody said, this is the RB19. This is closer to the RB19 than any other car on the grid, especially now that the RB20 is different than the RB19. And I thought to myself, oh boy, here we go. Tracing Point back again. But this time they're stealing a world beater. I love it. I got so excited. The team, Toro Rosso, came on, you know, AlphaTauri came on last year. We saw them. Their car got better. Daniel Ricciardo was fighting for midfield fifth. Even above that, fifth, sixth at times. Yuki led a couple laps. I mean, we had a car that was something, and it wasn't great yet, but it was knocking on the door. And if they have stolen any of the RB19 components, please let it be true. I am so all in on my favorite livery. I can't wait. I do still think, you know, they're going to be in the midfield, but I actually have Toro Rosso at the top of the midfield. I know what happened.
I need to just put this into context. When Brian says that, he's actually predicting them now to be the fifth best team on the grid. Which,
top half.
Based on last year, means they have to gather over 200 points more than they did last year to overhaul Aston Martin and Alpine, I think. So you've got them jumping three spots. You've got them leapfrogging Aston, Williams, and Alpine. That's how all in Brian's going on Toro.
I can't stop. I don't know what's wrong with me. Somebody help me. Someone out there knows what's wrong with me. Tell me what the problem is and how to fix it. I still have Red Bull first. I've got McLaren second, even if Zach's slow playing it with their stuff. I still have Mercedes ahead of Ferrari in a very close battle. None of my top four have changed. But then I have Toro Rosso fifth. I drop Aston, and then it's a crapshoot for Williams and Alpine, and then Sauber and Haas. And I actually think Aston could be in that crapshoot with Williams and Alpine. We'll see.
But, really think that Aston have just screwed the pooch and just going to do nothing
so
this year?
Far backwards last year. Show me the momentum that's positive, and then I'll listen.
I don't think they went backwards. I think everyone else went forwards. So it's,
well, if you're not moving, relatively you went backwards.
I know. But so you don't think there's any off-season development whatsoever, and the Aston Martin's going to stink the place out?
No, I think it'll be fine. They'll be right behind Toro Rosso.
It's not what you said like 30 seconds ago. Oh my gosh! For anybody that can't see this, Brian is like bouncing on his chair like he's had way too many artificial flavorings. Let's get you off this Toro Rosso high and get into the video vault. Come on.
Where are you at? Where are you at? What do you think? Like, did a car move up in your mind since we've kind of done our rankings? Did someone go down? Not just because of what it looks like, but just conversation.
I was
going to
say, we haven't seen anything yet, and I don't understand enough about push, pull, or wishbones, or inlets, or legality wire to really get excited about that. So I'm going to have to wait.
Was running legality wire, or Dr. Obbs lose his mind?
So I kind of need to see them actually going round tracks. So, you know, call me a traditionalist, but so nothing's changed for me at the moment because I don't think they go any quicker based on what they look like, but...
Hugo Boss, Red Bulls Racing, RB, count me in. Yuki Tsunoda's gonna have a
big Brian's
year.
Gonna turn up on this Zoom call next week and he's gonna have VB. He's gonna have Cash App written. He's gonna have Cash App written across his forehead when he's gonna
Speaking
get a tattoo.
Of which, send me some
and by money. The way, it won't be symmetrical just because that's how good the livery looks. But anyway,
I love it. All right, let's talk about some videos here. There was an awful lot of videos about the liveries. We'll skip as many of those as we can because we've covered them ourselves. But Rob, did you see the Grand Tour's newest?
Watching it tonight. Oh, no, Sam Job. Good. I'm watching it tonight. So
it's good. Enjoy it. It is very good. I really. It's sad that it's the second to last, the penultimate one, but it is very good.
We'll take over.
I'm happy to. I'm happy to leave you behind all the time and everywhere. So then the first video is our reaction in real life to the 2024 Red Bull car launch featuring Checo Perez on the P1 channel, the godfathers of F1 podcasts and their YouTube channel. It's 14 minutes. I really thought it was good reactions. They were invited to the Red Bull launch and they kind of covered what they saw and didn't see in the car and what it was like to be there. It was great for Matt and Tommy to kind of explain this. They had some technical problems, though, however, that really hindered their ability to do this. They had to re-record the whole thing at the end of the night, and the lights are going on and off around them, and it's confusing them, and they lost the audio from Checo's interview, so someone had to give them, like, backup audio. I mean, it felt a lot like when Break F1, when Blake did the thing with Max and Checo. So if we ever, get lucky enough to do this, we have to have like triplicate microphones running because you never know.
Yeah, I'm sure we're really going to have to worry about being prepared for that, Brian.
F1 star Lando Norris races towards the start of a new season on This Morning. I'm assuming This Morning is a British chat show that's shown in the morning.
Chat shows may be a little bit too highbrow for it. It's morning. It's breakfast TV. It's morning TV at its finest.
Okay,
it's a British institution, but
I only saw the 8-minute clip on their YouTube channel with Lando. It's great. I loved it. It's Lando is really growing into himself, into his own personality. He's fine telling people, he likes, doesn't like, and it's just fun to watch. I'm becoming an even bigger Lando fan than I've been. But they have like a harmless open mic gaffe at the end where they joke about showing up at races and pretending to be his parents, and he's still there. And so they thought they were off. Anyway, it was fun. If you like Lando, check out the This Morning clip on their YouTube. F1 channel had Fernando Alonso in beast mode. This actually dropped last weekend. I missed it the day we recorded. As I said, F1 channel, 11 minutes. And if you remember, I realized that Fernando was basically my favorite driver of last year. I didn't know that till we put the grids together and thought about it. So I was just man-crushing on Fernando for a while. It's got some great videos of him racing the 1950 Farina Bath. No, I'm just kidding, because he's not that old. But there's a lot of videos of him with cars that aren't turbo hybrid V6s, and it's great. It was just fun to watch. He definitely has some of the best overtakes. It's kind of become his signature, I think you'd have to say. And then
that and defending well.
Yes. The F1 channel had two more, and this I'll hit them quick. I don't necessarily recommend both. Charles Leclerc on teaming up with Lewis Hamilton and his 2024 ambitions, and then Carlos Sainz interview, It Was a Surprise to Me as Much as Anyone. Those are the titles. It started. This is all we're going to hear for a year. And this was the beginning of it, and I don't know how much I can handle of this. Like, I will start turning stuff off if it just all becomes about Lewis Hamilton coming over and did you know and what happened and what did you say. And anyway.
You're going to be turning a lot of stuff off, Brian. Just get that remote ready. That's all I'm saying.
I know. And so the one that I enjoyed the most this week was It's an Expert Roundtable as F1 and NASCAR Unite on the Shell channel. 12 minutes. I really enjoyed this. Go check it out on the Shell channel. It has Charles and Carlos, it's clearly filmed before this news happened, and Joey Logano, who's a NASCAR driver who will be running in the Daytona 500 in about 30 minutes if it stops raining down there. And so
I think it's already been postponed to tomorrow, isn't it?
Has it already?
Yeah, I think
Darn
I saw
it.
Before
I
we started recording.
Full day of work tomorrow, so I'm not going to be able to see it. All right. Well, so this was really good. This is just it's the three of them having a conversation about driving fast and the differences in their cars and what it's like. And they realize they all drive at COTA. And they start talking about lap times at COTA. And Logano's like, yeah, it's like a 212 for us at, and I'm the number may be a little wrong, but I'm close at Coda. And it was it for you guys? And Charles like, I don't know, 130. One, and Carlos looks at him and goes, 134. Carlos has it like, he's like an encyclopedia. And he goes, 134. And then Logano's like, dang, that's really fast. And so you kind of see these guys just comparing. But then they talk about NASCAR going 200 miles an hour, bumper to bumper, you know, like literally touching cars around you. And they were all kind of just enjoying the conversation. So anyway, I thought it was a fun 12 minutes. And I recommend people check it out.
One day you're going to get stuck in that. I'm not even going to let you out either until the following week.
Fine. As long as you give me a model of a Toro Rosso, I'll be fine.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine if Fernando Alonso got announced as Danny Ric's partner at Toro Rosso? You just lose your mind, wouldn't you?
Well,
your man crush at your livery crush.
Well, if it was Charles who went to Toro, I mean, anyway.
Anyway, right. Well, you know, those types of scenarios are like your fantasy. And speaking of fantasy, I didn't shoehorn that one in.
Segway Steve over there.
F1 fantasy dropped this week. New and improved. Not massively different, but I'm going to say, Brian, I've been a real Debbie Downer on F1 fantasy for the last two seasons because it's just sucked. Because
no one's noticed.
The year with the dynamic pricing didn't work. Last year, with the way the pricing and the template just worked, everybody had the same team all the time. I've got a little bit of optimism brewing for this year, Brian. So, should we just jump into the rule changes? I know you're Mr. Fantasy, so you take us through the rule changes.
Alrighty then. So, I haven't done a full deep dive. I may have looked. And so, Andy Tails, our friend Andy, who won the league 2 years ago when he beat me with my 333rd position in the world.
Still beaten by Andy. Well
still
done,
beaten
Andy.
By Andy. Andy's good.
First loser was Brian.
Correct. But I was still 333 in the world. And so this year, Andy's notes on the changes, and I'll talk a little bit more about other places to find info. Very minor rule changes. The extra subs, if you go over your allotment, are now negative 10 points. Before it was negative 4, so it's a bigger penalty if you choose to go to use extra substitutions. The no negative now works on each individual scoring component, not just the total score. So a driver who scores 6 in quali and 2 for overtakes, but a negative 20 for a DNF, would now score 8 because it rubs off that negative 20, whereas before it would have been a 0. So it allows you to have some positivity, which is what we'd really wanted it to be. Those are a couple of the biggest changes. There's a few others.
Yeah, that chip was a bit of a nothing burger, really. So I like the way they changed this. So yeah.
And so then the pricing change. So, Rob, you want to hit this because this is where your optimism comes in.
This is where my optimism comes in because it's actually really difficult this year. Because once you kind of basically take the obligatory Verstappen pick, they've upped the prices of the McLaren boys. And it's really difficult if you go in on Max and you take any decent constructor. I mean, basically, don't even think about taking Verstappen and Red Bull, because once you do that, that's like nearly 60 million of your 100 million burnt on those two picks. And you'll find that very, very quickly that you'll end up with a very poor team if you then try to fill in all the blanks with anybody else. Because I tried. I thought, well, Verstappen and Red Bull, obviously, what else can I get? Because that was almost last year's template, wasn't it? It was Red Bull and Aston Martin.
All right, triple Red Bull, triple Aston Martin. That's how everyone started the season.
Absolutely can't do that this year. If you try to triple Red Bull, you 50 million between the drivers and another 30 for the Red Bull constructor, you're going to be 80. I don't even think you can afford to fill the rest of your roster up if you go down that route. So this is what's making me a little bit more optimistic, that a lot of the good drivers are all kind of so close together price wise that I think there'll be a lot of choice this year. I honestly believe there'll be more variations. There'll be Max, and then hopefully quite a varied canvas beyond that. I'm sure some sort of template will start kind of emerging as the season goes on, but I'm kind of hoping it's multiple templates. Oh, well, it's the, do you know what I mean?
I do, 100%.
Am I overthinking this, Brian?
No, you nailed it, and I'm with you. The thing that I found interesting just in the pricing is the same way we looked at Vegas odds about a month ago and just said, what does Las Vegas say? So we looked at what the F1 game says, and Rob nailed it. Max is, the most expensive. Lando's second. And then you get Checo, so they close out the Red Bull duo. You get Lewis peeking his nose in there, followed by Charles. And then it's Oscar. So the second team to close both drivers is McLaren. And then you get George and Carlos. So then you kind of close Mercedes ahead of Ferrari in their mind, which is also the way I have my list. But then weirdly, they don't have Toro Rosso next. So someone needs to give them a ring-a-ding-ding and tell them to move everyone up, because I already have, I have some Toro Rosso in my team. I didn't go.
You
triple,
somehow
I
managed
double.
To get all five spots, all five drivers of Toro Rosso, and both constructors of Toro Rosso.
Historical drivers. I've got Danny Kvyat. I've got Brandon Hartley. I'm going through the decades. No, and so this looks good, and you nailed it too. The constructors as well are priced. It feels like they spent some time kind of thinking through this, so you couldn't as easily templatize from the beginning. We'll all learn, right? We'll learn as the season starts. We'll learn who's got pace and who doesn't, who has value and who doesn't. And I would just highlight, join us. Like, join us in our league. Join us in the Dirty Side League. Our socials have the information, Twitter and Threads and Instagram, but also on our website. If you want to just go find it real quickly, it's www.dirtysideofthetrack.com. It's there in red font so that you can't miss it. And it has our link and our code. We give out prizes, mid-season prize, end-of-year prize. Last year, we had a very tight battle between two fantasy experts. FPL Instinctive won, and he has a nice t-shirt at home, just beating Michael Cronje. And Michael, if I'm mispronouncing your name, tell me. We trade a lot of notes. And so Michael has his own league. I'm joining. Rob, you should join too if you have an extra team. Just checking it out. And of course, you know, the people who really know this stuff, Fantasy Hub, Rob, and Fantasy HQ Adam, who are also friends of the show, you know, they have great thoughts too. We love F1 Fantasy as a distraction from the actual races, and we enjoy it. So you can always count on us to have a recap, and we give shouts out. So join up, win some prizes, beat Rob. It'll be fun.
Well, that goes without saying. What's your name? You haven't just gone boring and just called your Sap this year, have you?
They required more than six characters, so I'm Sap at Dirty Side.
Oh my gosh! Come on, Brian. I'm Georgie Sweaty Visor. that's my team name this year. It was Vales Fails last year, and they really held up to that. And I'm just hoping that, you know, confusing sweat for rain, and I'll be on to a winner. But just before we kind of move off this, looking at the bottom end, there's a couple of things, right?
Yeah.
They've got Williams as the same price as Haas, which I find...
I disagree with.
A little bit of a kick in the nuts for Williams there, right? Yeah, but could mean that they become a good, affordable team down there. But they've got Albon kind of fairly high up. They've got Zhou more expensive than Valtteri, so they think Zhou's going to be the better performer of the two there.
Or he's going to maximize his points the way last year happened, where maybe he qualifies poorly and then makes up points in the race.
Yeah, and that's the only little bit that they haven't changed that I still don't like. For overtaking,
As well as positions gained. Or I don't know. We'll have to dig into that a little more. But I agree with you. That was shocking to me to see that one.
So I think that's kind of, we'll probably do it, like you say, we'll do a deeper dive before the season starts around the fantasies. And then the other thing that we've got left going for the remainder of the month is the F1 February Fantasticness.
Yes, sir.
On Twitter and Threads, which is now into the quarterfinals, which Brian didn't realize was...
the second round. It's quarterfinals. Yeah. That's correct. Quarterfinals.
Yeah, you thought we were straight into the semis last week. But so there's been a real painful head-to-head this week. And it's quite bizarre because the Threads and Twitter community have basically voted the same way. Other than Threads had Kota beating Monaco, and I think Twitter had it the other way around. So we had a different head-to-head coming through there. But
it was both against Interlagos.
It was both against Interlagos, and on both sides of the socials, Interlagos was triumphant. So we've actually converged now that I think we've got almost exactly the same lineup coming through. The vote that is ending very shortly right now.
Spa is ahead of Suzuka 58-42 on Twitter. 58%, 42%.
This one hurts tonight. This one as well. Spa, yeah, it ends in on Threads, it ends in tonight, and it's 65-35 to Spa at the moment. And this one hurts because these two are two of my faves.
This is where it'll get real. I mean, we are looking for the final four tracks. Interlagos has made it. It'll either be Spa or Suzuka. At this point, it looks like Spa. And then on the other side, or in the next couple of days, we'll have Monza versus Gilles Villeneuve. So we'll have Montreal against Monza. And then we have Baku versus Silverstone. I expect Silverstone to win. We'll see, though. You never know. People do like Baku got more points than I thought it would when it beat Zandvoort.
Yeah, it really did.
It's going to be fun because we're filling in the final four, February F1 fantasticness, your March Madness bracket, but instead for F1 tracks is underway. Check us and vote on Threads and Twitter, especially Twitter, because that's the one that I'm using for the official results, but Threads too. And so
official results.
And so that's what we're doing. Check it out. It has been fun. I can't wait to see. I actually don't know who's going to win at this point. I feel like, if I'm being totally honest, there's a lot of Brits voting, and I think Silverstone may have a shot at winning this thing, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm kind of right now, my gut is telling me it could be a Silverstone-Spa final.
Oh, that'd be good.
And that's going to be a real gut-wrencher because I love Spa, but, you know, cut me in half and I bleed the British blood, so...
May I?
Yeah. Yeah, you can if you like, yeah, and you can watch Silverstone blood pour out of my veins. Which, by the way, I'm not at all jealous of, that you're going to get to go to when I've never been. So
1 hour. I have one glorious hour.
You're going to be there. You're going to smell the gasoline, the petrol, whatever you want to call it. You're going to hear the cars, and I'm going to watch it on telly. So hashtag not jealous.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. I already got my rental car. So I have to drive on the left there, yes?
Oh, God, yeah, this is... Oh, maybe you won't get to Silverstone.
This is going to be good. It's going to be good. I don't normally drive in all the places I go, and this time I'm driving everywhere we go. So I'm going to have like 47 accidents across the continent.
Have you managed to hire an automatic, or have you ended up with, as they say on this side of the pond, a stick shift?
I can do
or
that.
Or a manual, as I would say.
But with my left hand will be the problem. So I'm going for whatever they got. These are all cars I've never heard of, by the way, as well. Like, these are... like. I can't wait. This is going to be exploration at its finest. My kids are going to be shrieking in the backseat.
Oh, man. We got so long to wait for that one to play out, but we got a whole bunch of races ahead of us before then. So, yeah, we're going to be, what are we right now recording here? The 18th. So we are 11 days away. 29th it all starts, right?
Yeah. Practice starts.
Well, yeah, that counts.
That counts, I know. I had to look at my calendar off on the side, but yes. That's
so when's
correct.
Testing then?
Next week.
We're reviewing testing this next week on next week's episode then, basically. Oh, yeah. Come on.
I have a crazy week, but Friday is the last day of testing, and I will record it and watch it at some point on Friday via 23rd if I have my internal calendar right.
Excellent. Well, that's next week's content sorted for us then, isn't it? So
done.
We will talk about testing. We will put to bed our favorite and least favorite liveries because we'll have seen them by then. And we will most probably get ridiculously optimistic for some cars' performance because we're going to buy into these testing times that we've seen. And we're probably going to be very pessimistic about some, thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe how slow they are. And then get proved completely wrong in the first race of the season.
And Drive to Survive drops on the 23rd as well. So we are there, man. We have reached F1 Nirvana. It starts now. And we can't wait to review it with all of you and talk to all of you in a week's time. It's around the corner. We'll talk to you soon, everybody.